Thank you. You may be seated. Speaking to you this morning on the subject that many of our prayer cards mentioned in their prayer request, and I'm talking to you about facing the future with the right attitude. As we should have preached this last week, but we couldn't, so it's a final message of a series that I'm preaching moving forward in 2019, and I'm going to talk today about the single most important attitude for looking at or planning for the future. A lot of people face the future in different ways, some with apprehension, some with apathy, some with fear, some with excitement. But the attitude that can change any situation, any circumstance that you find yourself in, is hope. Hope. There are two words that go together for the believer. One is hope, the other is future. Those two words are so important for you and me. And there is certainly a difference in the way the word hope is used today and the way that it has historically been used. We use hope different today from how the Bible uses it. We use it in what I might call a wimpy way. We say, I hope, or I wish something was so. Or I hope, meaning I wish such and such would happen. But the Bible doesn't mean that when it uses the word hope. The Bible uses it in a way where it means it's a fact. It's something we can put our confidence in. I hope so I have confidence. I hope so I can walk into the future with confidence. I hope so I'm not afraid. And this is the kind of thoughts that God has for us. As she read a moment ago on Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I have great plans for you. Plans of prosperity and not of harm. God has great plans. That was written to the Israelites in their time of exile. But I think the same principle is for you and me today. God has great plans for us. He's got great plans for this church. Not plans where he wants to harm us or bring us into defeat, but plans of prosperity. Plans of greatness. This kind of hope is like what I would call oxygen to the soul. You cannot live without hope. Hal Lindsey, a great Christian author, said many years ago, man can live 40 days without food, but only about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope. Now, when I talk about hope, I'm not talking about being an optimist. The optimist looks at a glass as half full, and the pessimist looks at the glass as half empty. But a person of hope sees that the glass is firmly in the hand of God. Hope can be defined, I would say, in 4 words. God is in control. God's in control. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening in our nation or the world, no matter what's happening around us, we must remember God is in control. When we see this, when we understand this, when we get this, it changes everything in our lives. When I realize that God's plan is going to prevail always, no matter what, I can have hope. We need hope this morning. Every year, the number of depression cases rises highly, greatly. Suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in America. We are living longer as people, and we have more stuff than any previous generation, yet never in history have so many had so much for so long and been so depressed about it. We need hope. God's hope, not the world's hope. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. He also came to give us hope. Not the world's hope, not how the world defines hope, but God's hope. Now, if I have hope this morning, what does it do? If we have hope, what happens? Well, if I have hope, I can get started again. Okay? What is it that gets you started in the morning? All of us have had defeats in life. All of us have had difficulties. We've had obstacles that have seemed too great for us. You know, you can look at a car that's so clean and just after it's detailed and on the outside, it is great. It may even have a good engine, but if the starter doesn't work, that car is going nowhere. There are many people like that. They look good on the outside. When you look at them externally, it seems like they got their act together, but they wake up in the morning and they just can't get started. The world seems to close in on them. But God says, they that wait on God can get started again when the power in their life has gone out, when everything seems against them. Isaiah 40, 31 that I read a moment ago. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's a strength that God gives us when our hope is in Him that the world cannot touch. So I can get started again after defeat when I have the hope of God. Secondly, I can live with enthusiasm and purpose. Hope enables us to live with incredible amounts of burden and strife, all kinds of pressures all over us, and yet we can move on, move forward day after day when we have hope. As she read in 2 Corinthians 1:8, 9, Paul talked about, he said, I didn't want you to be uninformed, but he says, I've gone through a lot of troubles. We were under great pressure, great stress, beyond our ability to endure it, so that we even worried whether or not we were going to live. In our hearts, he said, we felt we were going to die, but this happened, that we might not rely upon ourselves or our own abilities, our own stuff, but upon God. You see, you can live with any problem. It does not matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how problematic it is. You can live with it if you have hope in God. Thirdly, if I have hope, I can go on. I can go on. Hope gives us strength to go on after a great loss or a great disappointment. And some of you have had some great losses this year, in prior years. You know what it means to hurt, to be disappointed. A woman by the name of Florence Chadwick, some of you may remember the name. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. On July 4th, 1951, she was going to swim from Catalina to the California coastline, but she didn't quite make it. It wasn't the cold water, nor the sharks, or the 15 to 16 hour swim. It was the fact that a deep, heavy fog rolled in, and she couldn't see the coastline. So she quit, they tell us, 1/2 mile from the shore. And when she got out of the water, she said, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I really feel like if the fog hadn't been there and I could have seen the land, I could have made it. Some months later, she tried again. The fog again rolled in just like last time, but this time she knew the coastline was there and she kept on going and kept on going and she completed the swim. 2 hours less than anybody had ever done it before. I can go on if I have hope. Many of us are like Florence Chadwick. The fog has rolled into our lives. Heavy problems, heavy difficulties, a heaviness on our heart. It burdens us with stresses. Sometimes we don't think we can bear them. But just like the California coastline is immovable and will be there no matter what, God's promises to us are immovable and will also be there for us. Over 7,000 promises in time that God has given to us in His Word. They'll all be true. You can't always see God's promises. You can't always remember His promises. But it is hope that gives you knowledge that they are there. And you'll experience them if you just keep going on. I have hope. If I have hope, I can go on. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. You may have all kinds of troubles and hurts and pain in this life. But Peter says, just for a little time, God gives you hope. There's something better at the end of the road. Fourthly, if I have hope, I can slow down. Hope gives us the ability to slow down this busy life that so often gets out of balance when we let too much get too important. My wife doesn't let me go to the grocery store very often, but every once in a while I'll go, and I always think that I can carry more. I'm only there for a couple of items, but I always think I can carry it all without a cart. So I go in there, and I've got two or three things, and I'm okay, and then I add two or three more and two or three more, and by the time I get to the register, I'm juggling these things and trying to get there without dropping something and breaking them, and they kind of look at me like, who let him loose, you know? So that's the way our schedules are a lot of times, aren't they? We keep adding things. We keep adding things. Church schedules do that a lot. We keep adding things and adding things and adding things and never take anything out. And so we get so burdened, things get so heavy, we feel that we won't make it. We see ourselves coming and going. Life gets out of balance when too much becomes too important. And without hope this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we're always in a hurry. We don't always know where we're headed, but we're sure in a hurry to get there, aren't we? It's like the great theologian Yogi Berra, who said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere else, right? Doesn't that happen? And many times we don't really know where we're going. We think today we've translated busyness into effectiveness and accomplishment. But hope is what shows the way. When we don't know where we're headed, we feel like we've got to put more energy into our lives so hopefully we can get somewhere and hopefully we can get something accomplished. And we're a society today, a culture that desperately needs rest. Things are too busy and things are too hectic. And if you're a person who buys your groceries and uses them directly from the car, you're probably, I don't know for sure, but you're probably too busy, right? Some of us seem like maybe we do that. But it's hope that allows us to slow our pace down and to realize that we don't have to rush into life so fast because we might not know what tomorrow may bring, but we know the one who holds tomorrow, right? And he's got it all together. God is in control. Psalm 62:5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. It's not in my stuff. It's not in people. It's not in relationships. It's not in my profession, my job, not in things. It's in God. He says, find rest in God. Fifthly, if I have hope, I can say no. I can say no to the temptations of life. I can say no to those things that are low priority. You see, hope is the foundation of integrity. If I have no hope for the future, if I'm sitting here today and the future looks to me hopeless, then there's no logical reason for integrity, is there? If there is no hope, then let's just eat and drink. Let's just be merry and have a good time because tomorrow we're going to die anyway. But John said in 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's a hope that one day we'll see Jesus, one day we'll be in heaven with him, that keeps us going, that keeps us moving, that keeps us trying to touch lives and trying to do something great for God. So we talk about hope, what it can do if we have it. How do I get hope? It's easy to say we ought to have hope, but it's not so easy to get it or to keep it. First of all, it tells us in Romans 5:4, and I think I've got four or five things I want to share with you this morning. Romans 5:4 says we get perseverance, and we build on perseverance character, and after character, we have hope. So how do I get hope? Well, the first thing is get a problem, okay? You want to get hope? Get a problem. How many don't have a problem today, okay? We all have problems. If we have hope, if we're going to get hope, we first of all must learn to deal with problems. God takes the very problems that we think are sent to steal our hope, and he uses them to actually give us hope. Realize three things about problems. Number one, they're inevitable. We shouldn't be asking the question, why me? We ought to be asking the question, if things are going too smooth, why not me? Problems are inevitable. Secondly, they are unexpected so often. So unexpected. They come when we don't expect them. And thirdly, they're used by God to develop and grow us, to build our character. Why does God allow problems? So we can get to know him. He tells us in Romans 8, 28, all things, not just some things, not a few things, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And the next verse tells us that he uses all of that to conform us, to make us like Jesus. So he gives us problems so he can develop us. And as we learn how to deal with problems, to make us more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have problems. So if I've got to get a problem to build hope, secondly, I need to practice patience. Romans 5:4, there's perseverance, then character, and then hope. Growth involves both problems and patience. If problems were enough in themselves to mature us, we'd all be pretty mature because we all have many problems, don't we? If it was just problems, we'd all be a mature group of people. But what happens is it takes time to solve problems. Problems aren't solved quickly if they're a real problem. You've got to wait on God to develop you. The problems, you see, with Christian growth, the problems you are facing today, if you are growing in your faith and your relationship with him, your problems in 5 years are going to be up here because you'll grow to meet those problems. And the more we grow in the Lord, the more we become like Jesus, the greater problems he can trust us with because he knows he's going to grow us, develop us to overcome those for his glory. You see, it takes time. Many try to run from problems. Many hide from their problems, or they stick their heads in the sand and pretend they don't exist. But Paul said in Romans 8, 25, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Patience comes from trusting that God is in control. Whatever happens, whatever difficulty, whatever hurt, whatever pain, we know that God is in control. And if God has allowed it, he's done it for something good because he is a good God. He said in Romans 15, 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Everything that's happened, everything we read in the scriptures was for our encouragement so we'll know how to get through those problems so that we can overcome them and be what God wants us to be. You see, trust is always built on truth. If I was really convinced how truthful the Bible was, I'd spend more time in reading it and getting it in me. Many of us don't read the Bible other than what they hear in a service. Many don't get into the Bible much because deep down inside, we really don't believe it's the answer. And yet God says that's where truth lies. When we feel hungry, we eat, right? When we get tired, we go to sleep. But when we feel hopeless, when life just seems to overcome us, so often we just go and sit in the easy chair and channel surf, don't we? We try to go numb into a fantasy world. And yet, when I do that, I've never been able to find the hope channel, right? It's not there. Many attach their lives to a lie about guilt or about sin or about pleasure, that these things will give them hope. And we try in our own strength to get over it. But the secret is not gutting it out. It's not in stretching ourselves, but unattaching ourselves from the lie before us and attaching ourselves to the Word of God. So we practice patience. Then we develop character. You see, problems change us. James 1:4 said, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Be honest, Paul tells us, about a false kind of hope. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. In other words, he says, don't put your hope in riches. Don't put your hope in wealth. Don't put your hope in things of this world. It's all false. It's all temporary. It is all going to fade away. Put your hope in God. The lesson is simply this. We get problems if we build our lives on something that easily can be lost. You see, if you're building your hope on things that are temporary, you're going to have problem after problem after problem after problem, because they're not eternal. They're like sifting sand, and they will fade away. Build your hope on the character of God developed in you, and nobody can ever take that away from you. Fourthly, enjoy hope. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I think it's important that we remember where hope comes from. In the New Testament, the word hope occurs only once before the resurrection. After the resurrection, God uses the word hope 70 times. 70 times. Where does hope come from? Hope comes from the resurrection. And where does the resurrection come from? The resurrection started with a cross. So where does hope come? Hope begins in the darkest places of our lives. When it seems like it's insurmountable, when it seems like nothing will work out, when it seems like there's no hope for ourselves, for our family, for our church, remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead when the whole world was against him. They killed him on a cross. He suffered indescribably. It was a dark, dark world, and yet he rose from the dead to provide for us. And Peter calls it a living hope. The symbol of our faith this morning, the symbol of our faith is a cross. The cross is an instrument of execution, a negative term, a negative symbol in the culture of that day. And yet God Almighty turned the evil of the cross into a resurrection that begins life. So God understands, and God can transform our pain, our struggles, our hurt into something great. He can transform this church that's gone through some significant transitions this past year into something wonderful and beautiful for his glory. You see, hope doesn't begin someday. Hope begins now. Don't wait for it. What did he say in Lamentations? Jeremiah said this, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Why did Jeremiah say he had hope? Because of God's great love. God's merciful. He doesn't consume us and destroy us for our sin. His compassion never fails. And every day we get up. Today you got new mercies from God. Tomorrow you'll get more new mercies. Every day he gives us new mercies to get us through the day. Lastly, one last thing. If you forget everything else, remember this. How do we get hope? Look to Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I challenge you today as you leave this place. I know we have a meeting in a little while, but as you leave this place today, I challenge you to make Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ, your priority for 2019. To get to know him, not about him, not just facts about him, but get to know him experientially, personally. That's why he came. Follow him with the same joy and the same intensity that he followed the Father's plan. Look to Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Did Jesus endure pain and agony, hurt? Yeah. But he had such joy of what he knew it was going to accomplish that Jesus couldn't wait to get to the cross for what it would do for you and for me. You see, hope keeps us going when we're not sure of the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Hope is built on truth. So trust God that he will work everything out right. His plans for us are prosperous, not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to bless us. Father, we thank you for your word. Apply it to our lives. Give us that hope we're talking about here this morning.